Yes, sir.
Thank God for the humble prayer. We desire your prayers continually. God would bring to our remembrance the things that we've studied.
Yes.
The things that we've been thinking about. I told Brother Carey the singing sure sounded good this morning.
Like I said, amen.
There's some good singers here. And the acoustics are good in here. Had a good time yesterday. God bless Brother Carey down at Mount Perry to preach. And we heard Brother Whidbey and Brother Ronnie. God bless them all. We appreciate God all the time. And He blesses continuously.
Yes.
You know, the devil, he gives us all a hard time, don't he?
Yes, sir.
And we've got to have so much devil bothering us to really even it all out, don't we?
Yeah.
Because if the devil didn't ever bother us, we'd get the big head and think it was really something, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But we've got to have so much negative stuff to balance everything out. But how good it is after the devil's been on you, you know, all week, and the Lord just blesses you good.
Yeah. That's right.
That's great. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the 61st Psalm. 61st chapter of the book of Psalms. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Man by nature don't see himself as he really is. He sees himself high and lifted up. We are sinners by nature. I've heard people say, I used to be a sinner, but I'm not a sinner anymore. I've been saved. Or I got saved. That's usually what they say when they say, I used to be a sinner. But Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am.
Yeah.
Sound like he still wasn't known.
Yeah.
Whom I am, chief. The Bible teaches total depravity.
Yes.
The Bible does not teach that man is sick and needs some medicine.
No, sir.
The Bible teaches man is dead.
Right.
And the Bible does not have any degrees of death. It's just plain dead.
Right.
Some people say it's graveyard dead. I don't see how anybody could explain death any more than just say they're dead. They're incapable of doing anything. And a man that's spiritually dead, he is incapable of understanding anything that's spiritual. And the gospel is something spiritual, therefore he has no capability of understanding that spiritual thing as any other spiritual thing. You remember in the book of Genesis, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Some people say that Adam didn't die that day. They go to the book of Peter where it said a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, and so Adam didn't die that day. And you know, he didn't die naturally that day, but he did die in trespassing and sin. Let me say that instead of saying spiritually dead, because he wasn't ever spiritually alive, so he didn't spiritually die, did he? But he was dead in trespassing and sin.
Right.
And all of us sinned in Adam. And when we were born into this world, we were dead in trespassing and sin. We did not have to do anything to become a sinner. But we do the things that we do because we are a sinner. The Bible says there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Also in the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says that, lo, I've made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. And what kind of inventions did man seek out when we all sinned in Adam? The Bible says that we are together become unprofitable. That means at the same time. You didn't become unprofitable when you was 12 years old, and I didn't become unprofitable when I was 12 years old, but we all became unprofitable at the same time. If you became unprofitable when you were 12 years old, and I became unprofitable when I was 12 years old, which they call the age of accountability, then we didn't all become unprofitable at the same time, because you were 12 years old at the same time I was 12 years old. But the Bible says that we are together become unprofitable. That means at the same time. We're all dead. We're born in this world. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And they're like the deaf adder that stoppeth up her ears. You know, it's strange that a deaf adder would stop up her ears. I mean, she can't hear to start with. She's putting her finger in her ears. I mean, that's like somebody that can't hear to start with, and they're putting their fingers in the ear, or they can't hear. That's kind of weird, ain't it? But we're like the deaf adder that stopped up her ears, that will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wise. There's a lot of charmers in this world. You know what a snake charmer is, don't you? And we're talking about a deaf adder. That's a snake. And they will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. But what does that mean to us if we're talking about the wicked there, which is all of us born by nature, we're all wicked, and we will not hearken to the voice of charmers? What is that talking about? We're not talking about just a regular snake now, and won't, you know, those charmers get on, you see them on TV, they get them cobras in them baskets, and they blow that little flute, and all them little cobras, they come up out of them baskets, and they so-called charm the snake. But that's not what the Scripture is speaking of. That's maybe a natural example, but it's talking about us that are dead in trespassing and sin. And we will not hearken to the voice of charmers or preachers, no matter how wise they are, to tell us all about it. And there's a lot of charmers in this world. They go to school to get a great education. They might learn how to charm all of us into life. You see what I'm saying? That's what they get an education for, to learn how to charm. If they can charm us in a certain way, then we'll want to have life and we'll ask for it and God will give it to us. But that's not the way life comes.
No, sir.
And somebody where I worked one time, he was trying to say, I was talking to him about a free gift. He said, but you got to reach out and get a free gift. In order to receive a free gift, you got to reach out and get it. He had a pen in his pocket. I took the pen out of his pocket. I said, all right, this is life, and you're dead. And I put the pen in his pocket. I said, all right, I give you life. And what did you do to receive?
Right.
Man receives life, but he don't reach out and get life. Lazarus, when he is dead in the grave, and he is 4 days of stinking, surely he didn't reach out and get life, did he?
No.
He received life because God gave him life, and so did everybody else that's ever died. That's in a natural grave.
And did you know it takes the same voice to raise one dead in trespass and sin? It's going to take at the end of time when God raises all the dead from the grave. How do you know that? Well, the Scripture says so. John 5:25 says, Verily, verily, I say to thee, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead Moses has said the hour is coming, and now is. Now, we're talking about people that are spiritually dead here. Because it's now is, and the resurrection hasn't happened yet. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, not the word of the Son of God. Now, I can give you the word. I can send one of my boys down to your house, each one of y'all, and they could give you my word, but it wouldn't be my voice. I have to come to you personally before you can hear my voice. And when God, when He raises all the dead at the end of time, He's not going to send me out there to raise the dead. That's His word. He's not going to send His word. But He's going to come first. He's going to come personally in.
That's right.
For the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are, which are alive and remain, shall be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to take the voice. It's the same voice at the end of time that it takes to raise a natural dead, that it does to raise one spiritually dead to life now.
Yes, sir.
It's the same voice.
Yeah,
and we're all sinners. Old people talk about the way in the holiest of holies is open. It is. When Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. And it was made where people could see in the way of the holiest of holies. But it's talking about the children of God.
Right.
People are still dead in trespass and sin. If man is dead, trespass and sin, he still cannot see in the way of the holiest of holies, even though the veil of the temple has been ripped from top to bottom. They still cannot see into the way of the Holy Souls. And when they say this, they say, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But the dead cannot do that. You cannot come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Why? Because the dead can't see the way into the Holy Souls. They're still dead. I was talking a while ago about how dead a person is. Somebody told me this little boy was in school one day. I don't know if it was Sunday school or what. But this teacher says, and he was trying to get them saved. And he was saying unto them, and he was quoting out the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," and he was using this to teach man could help raise the dead. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up the door, I will come in and sup with him, and him with me." And he said, you know now if the King of England come to your house and he knocked on your door, you know you'd want to open the door and let him in. And you know if the Lord Jesus Christ come and knocked on your door, even if you was dead and trespassed sin, you know you'd want to open the door and let him in. The little boy said, "Teacher, what if all the people in the house was dead? Who's going to open the door?"
Right.
Nobody can open the door because we're all dead.
Right.
We're dead and trespassing. Man, his best state is altogether vanity.
Right.
I'm not talking about his worst state now.
Right.
It's kind of like you see a person in rags, and then you see another man come with his Sunday suit on to church. That's his best state, ain't it, with his Sunday suit on.
Yeah.
And even at his best state, he's altogether vain. We're all sinners. Paul described how bad we were. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They altogether become unprofitable. What about people saying, if you'll just get in the right way and stay in the right way, one day you'll get to heaven when life is over. The Bible says they're all going out of the way. If you'll just seek God, you know that quote, the verse over there in the book of Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near." But that's talking to God's children. If it's not, why does the Bible say there's none that seeketh after God? Who is this talking about, there's none that seeketh after God?
It's all of us by nature.
There's none that understand it. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their mouths, with their tongues, they use deceit. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There's no fear of God before their eyes. This is all a description of people that are sinners by nature. That's all of us. I'm not talking about you alone. I'm talking about me. We're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God. Bible said, all we that keep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. I've turned to my way, you turned your way. We all turned our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. But you know, by nature, we cannot see ourselves sinners. And you cannot see yourself a sinner until God forms you again. And then you see your sinfulness. And I see my sinfulness. And when I am born again of God's Spirit. That's what the Bible means when they said there's none to understand. We don't understand anything spiritual. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high lifted up, you remember what he said? Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. But you got to see how mighty God is and what a sinner you are before you can see the truth of God's Word. How bad and how awful that we are before God. I'm talking about we. I'm including myself. You know, you can't say we without including yourself. I'm talking about me. We cannot see ourselves, but we see ourselves high up. We see ourselves as mighty. Some of God's children still see themselves high and mighty in this world. The Pharisees, some of those were children of God, and they still saw themselves high and lifted up. You remember the publican? The Pharisee and the publican, they went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. He said, I'm glad I'm not like other men. Have you heard somebody say that before in your life? I'm glad I'm just like, not like other men are. I'm righteous and I'm holy. I'm glad I'm not like other men are. They, some of God's children say that. And they're going to heaven. Ain't you glad that man don't have to see himself this way to go to heaven? It's all of God's grace that we go to heaven. It's all of God and Him alone.
Amen. Thank God for those that are taught. Not only in their heart, but they've been taught in their minds too. That salvation is by grace. You know, not everybody in the world appreciates sovereign grace. They can't stand it. A lot of people in the world hate primitive Baptists. Why? Because we won't give God, won't give man no credit, but we give it all to God.
And when you sit down at the table at lunchtime and they know you're a primitive Baptist, they're not going to hang around you. You don't have to say, I don't want you to sit with me. They'll leave you alone.
I had a boy not too long ago call me a devil. Thank God the scripture said they called Jesus a devil.
Right.
That gives me courage. Give me strength to go on.
He was talking to another boy about obedience, and he was talking about active obedience. And I just asked the question. I said, is active obedience the only obedience taught in the Bible?
He said, don't pay no attention to him. He's a devil. But I was trying to give him a thought there. We call it a study. But you know, some people, they're so blinded to the God. I'm talking about God's children now. I believe this boy's a child of God. But sometimes people are so blinded. I'm not talking about blind now. I'm talking about blinded. The gods of this world, they've been taught things that are wrong so long that their mind is blinded and they don't care about hearing nothing else. They already know everything. They don't even want to say about anything. They don't want to use their own brain that God has given them to think about other things that they already thought. You know, a lot of people just got traditions. And they're so full of traditions in this world, and they're not going to think about nothing else. But man is high and lifted up. Man thinks he's really something. You know, people, they go to Sunday school and all this.
And I'm not talking about the people. I love the people, and I believe these people are going to heaven. And I don't got nothing against the people, but what they believe, I can't stand.
Most everybody's religion is outside the Bible today. I mean, they got a religion, but it's not found in God's Word.
Yeah.
If you talk to them long enough, you'll find it out. They get little things put on their collar, Jesus first, you know.
Why? So they boast and brag about it, because
they want everybody to know that they're really something.
I remember when I was in the other order, we used to get little stars in our Bible.
We're doing a Sunday school lesson. You know what that was for? Where I could say, man, look at what I've done.
So I could brag. But you know, in God's sight, there's no buttons and no badges and no pledges. There's none of these great things that man has done, but man has to hit the dust, don't he? When man sees himself in the sight of God as he really is, there's no bragging in himself. Like Isaiah, I said a while ago about Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his mouth wasn't full of boasting, was it?
He said, woe is me, for I'm undone. You know, a lot of people said, I've seen the Lord, but their mouth is just full of boasting as it could be what all they've done. See, the Bible says, from the end of the earth.
From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for me. What is he talking about from the end of the earth?
Well, you can talk about going out to the ocean and stand out on the earth's end. It's right on the edge, right on the shore.
You know, there's a lot of things that you go down the road and you see where there's signs to say
the end of the speed zone.
The end of the construction place
where they're working on the road. The end of it.
You ever seen those signs? The end of the school zone.
That's the end of it.
That's the last part of it. Did you know the Bible said Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believes it?
That's right.
He's the end of it. There's going to come a time that's going to be the end of time. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom even to God the Father. The end is coming one day.
Yes, sir.
That was the end in the 28th chapter of Matthew Jesus was talking about. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever after me, and go I'm with you always to the end of the world.
That was the end of that world back there. It's coming in.
Well, what does this mean from the end of the earth? Have you ever thought about the earth being us? The first man, Adam, was off the earth. Did you know in a man's experience, I'm not talking about a spirit from raising him from death to life, but I'm talking about his experience in conversion when he's brought from law to grace. There has to come an end to this earth here.
Yeah.
Have you ever come to the end of yourself? I'm talking about when it comes to the end of yourself, everything has to be took away from you.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Carey. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, 107th chapter, they reel to and fro like drunk men and are at their wit's end. They come to the end of themselves.
What has to happen for a man to come to the end of his self? His heart has to be overwhelmed.
That's
right. You know what the word overwhelmed means?
It means to cover up.
It means something to press you down. We had a song a while ago about the terrors of the world had pressed me down.
Have you ever felt like in your life that the cares of the world have just got you down? and your heart is overwhelmed.
Sure.
Your heart is overwhelmed for all of this. You're overwhelmed. In other words, things of this world have just got you down. And you're at the end of yourself. You know, mass conversion. I don't know if everybody has this conversion or not. But I remember being in another order when I came to the Old Baptist. Everything had to be taken away from me. I'm not talking about just doing good and keeping good, and one day you'll get to heaven when life is over. See, all that had to be taken away. That had to come to an end. You'll get to go to heaven if you're a hold out and hold on to the end. That's what people teach us today. But all that had to come to an end. But not only that had to come to an end, my faith and repentance had to come to an end. You know, people used to say all the time, if you'll just come up here to this mourner's bench and you'll cry to God and you'll just repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you. But you've got to do that first.
Right.
But all that had to be took away. There had to come an end to this earth. From the end of the earth will I cry?
From the end of the earth, when it comes to an end, when all my thoughts of my works, when all that
and it had to come to an end. Well, I'd never cry unto the Lord unless it come to the end. But that crying to the Lord ain't what give me life. God gave me life, and that caused me to cry unto God. But I had to come to a wit's end. I had to come to the end of my road.
That's right.
Somebody asked an old Indian one time what salvation was like. He went out in the woods and got a bunch of leaves. Put them in a circle like this. And he took a worm and he put it in the middle of that circle and he struck fire. He struck a match. Made fire all around that circle of leaves and he put that little worm right in the middle. And that whole ring of fire was there. This is the way a person is in his spirit. I'm not talking about bringing from life to death or death to life. I'm talking about when a person's born again of God's spirit. Man has to be turned around.
Yeah.
Man has to come to his wit's end. Well, here this little earthworm here, he's in the middle of a circle of fire. He's going this way. He's trying everything he can to get out of this fire. And he sees there ain't no way out. He's at his wit's end. And you know what he does? He balls up in the middle of the circle, ready to die. And the Indian reaches in and pulls him out.
Yeah.
Now this is the way a child of God sees himself. I'm going to hell. I'm going to burn forever and ever. And he comes to his wit's end. Lord, I done tried all this faith and all this repentance. I'm at my wit's end. I ain't got nothing left. And then he sees salvation by grace.
Amen.
You see, when God saves a person by his grace, he don't see himself as he really is. He sees himself as he would be without the grace of God.
Amen. That's right.
If he did not see himself as he would be without the grace of God, he would never appreciate the grace of God.
Right. Yeah.
Man, I see they have to be so much negative before you appreciate the positive. And we got so many people in the Primitive Baptist today say, you don't need to be a preaching any negative now. Preach positive. Well, you can't appreciate the positive unless you see the negative.
Right.
Unless you see yourself as a corrupt, vile sinner. Now, I'm not talking about getting live. But you'll never appreciate grace here in this life
right. Unless
you see yourself a sinner. Man has to come to the end of himself. Man has to come to the end of all his boasting. People used to tell me, just come up and repent of your sins. Did you know I never could get up to the level they wanted me to? How much does it take? How do you know when you've repented enough? How do you know? Well, a preacher preach all week in a revival meeting and he'd try to get people to come to the mourner's bench. And then if nobody would come, he'd go to work on the church members. Are you really sure that you're a child of God? Have you really repented enough be a child of God, I never could reach the level that they wanted me to reach. Have you really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question they ask. Have you really believed on Him? And I say, Lord, I believe. I mean, I'd go up to every Sunday. And I kneel in the altar, Lord, I believe You. But you know, the very next day, I feel like I was lost again. I never could reach the level that they wanted me to reach, but one day I came to my wits end when all of that was took away. Amen. Lord, I've done all I can do.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people have to change their religion when it comes time to die. A lot of people live all their life in doubt all their life. You know what they'll do? They'll say, well, I believe I've held on and hold out. You need to hold on and hold out like me. You need to believe like me. You need to repent like me. That's the reason I'm a child of God. You're not. They just go around boasting all the time. But when it comes time for them to die, you know what they have to do? Lord, I've done all I can do. Well, that's what the Trinity Baptists have been saying all along. We come to our wits end and say, Lord, we've got to do everything we know to do. And we just fall. I mean, there's nothing else left. And then we see grace.
Yes, sir.
Because we come to our wits' end.
Right.
From the end of the earth. From the end of what earth? From the end of this earth. When all boasting is laid aside. When all faith is taken away. When all repentance is taken away. When all baptism is taken away. Everything that we can do, that we think we can do to get life. When all that's taken away, then the end of the earth is there. I'm talking about the end of this earth. And we're laying there in the dust. Thank God the Bible says He lived with the poor and bowed the
dead. Yes, true.
He lived with the poor and bowed the dust. Ain't you better than that? From the end of the earth will I cry with my heart. When will I cry? When it's the end of the earth. When my heart is overwhelmed. When I'm weighted down. With all this big old, and I can't turn nowhere because I done tried it all. I done tried everything else.
It's kind of like the experience of the woman that had the issue of blood.
Yeah. You remember that woman had that experience?
Yes.
She done spent everything she had on doctors, and she wouldn't believe nothing, and nobody told her about anything. She'd come to her wits end. Why? She done spent it all. Ain't that a way a child of God in his experience? He done spent it all. He done tried everything in the world. But finally she hears about Jesus. You know, when you're at your wit's end, that's when the gospel of God's sovereign grace really sounds good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, for the first time in your life, you appreciate it. For the first time in your life, you appreciate predestination and election. I mean, when everything else is taken away and that's all you got, you appreciate it, don't you? And you hang on to it. Everything took away. That woman had the issue of blood when she heard about Jesus. No doubt she heard the gospel of sovereign grace. I mean, it's like that anyway. It's a picture of it. When she heard about Jesus, she said, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. But you know, that don't make a person a child of God. But what peace it brings in his heart.
Yes, sir.
From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. Lead me to that rock.
Yeah.
You know, the dead can't be led. You know what?
Yeah.
They have to be drawn. That's the reason the Bible said, no man can come unto me except the Father send me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The dead has to be drawn. They can't be led.
Right.
The Bible says in the book of Romans, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not they will be if they will be led, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Yeah. When David said, from the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed, he's not talking to himself as being dead in trespass and sin. He's a child of God. And you know, that's not the only experience God's children have in life. Old-age people just talk about this one-time experience, you know, and that's the only one. And you got to have this one time when you go down there and you feel good at the altar, you know, and that's the only time you ever had this experience. And if you ain't got that, you're just not a child of God. But my friend, I go through life, I have many experiences like this. That's a lot of times I have to come to the earth's end. I have to come to the end of myself time after time because there's time in my experience in life. As a child of God, I keep thinking I'm really something, you know what? And I have to be brought to the end again. Nebuchadnezzar was a man. He had to be brought to the end, didn't he? Had to be brought from the end of the earth will I cry. He had to come to the end of his earth himself because he said, look what my hands built. Great Babylon. I mean, it looked like a typewriter just got hung up on an eye. Look what my hands have been.
Yeah.
I have done this. Same thing with the Pharisees. Went up to the temple to pray with the publican. His typewriter just hung on an eye. I am glad I am not like other men. I am not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. But I pay tithes with all that I possess, and I fast twice in a week. It was not up on high. He had never come to the end of himself. But you know the man that was a publican? He wouldn't even as much as lift his eyes there. Why? He had come to the end of himself.
Right.
The end of the earth had come to him. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wouldn't even as much as lift his eyes. Why? God's so holy, he couldn't look up. We cannot look at God. He's holy. From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. Lead me to that rock. Lead me where? Lead me to the Pope? No. Lead me to a gospel preacher? No. Lead me to Mohammed? No. Lead me to that rock. What rock is that? Jesus says, I'm the rock.
That's right.
See, they have to be they got to be a refuge here, a place that you can run to. When your heart is overwhelmed, see, you're fleeing to a place then. It becomes unsafe for your acts. That's the way it seems in your mind anyway. I've got to flee to a place of refuge. I've got to find it. Why? My heart is overwhelmed. I'm at the end of myself. Lead me to that rock. Now you can't leave the dead. A gospel preacher can't leave the dead. But he can leave one that's alive.
Right.
And there's been many a gospel preacher that has led me. Not from death to life. But led me to that rock that's higher than I.
Yeah.
Lead me to that rock. You remember what Moses said with that? He said, I want to see your glory, God.
Yeah.
He said, no man has ever looked on my face and lived. He said, but thou shalt stand on a rock. And he said, I'll put thee in a cliff of a rock. When my glory passes by, you're going to be in the cliff of the rock. Now I see this as eternally, but a person can see it in his experience too. You know when you were really saved eternally? God put you in the cliff of the rock. You knew who that rock was? Jesus. Well, how do you know that rock was Jesus? You remember Moses striking that rock? And the children of Israel, they drank of that rock, water out of the rock. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they drank of that rock which followed them, which was Jesus. Bible just plainly tells us it's Jesus. And who is the rock that we're hid in? It's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord. Well, what's the glory that passes by? The glory is God's character. All of His wrath. Can you imagine a person sitting in a rock in a bad storm coming up? And a person's hitting that rock. Why are they hitting that rock? So they'll be safe from the storm. Did you know we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? When Jesus died on the cross, we were in Christ.
Right.
When He was buried, we were in Him. When He arose again, we arose in Him. And when He sat down at the right hand of the Father, legally and positionally, we were there. And we are still there at the right hand of the Father. We are in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Thank God.
But here, He didn't say, Moses, you put yourself in the rock. He said, there's the rock, and I will put thee in the cliff of the rock. You ever heard that song, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood? Drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And you know, I always thought that song said, and sinners plunge. But it didn't say sinners plunge. It says sinners plunged. That's a past tense word. You know how they were plunged? See, the way the world looks at it, sinners plunge beneath that and they lose all their guilty stains. They do something themselves to cleanse themselves. But it didn't say sinners plunged. It said sinners plunged. God plunged them beneath that crimson flood and they lost all their stains and all their sins as far as heaven is concerned in the punishment. But here Christ is now. He's dying on the cross and we're all in Him and we died when He died. We were in Jesus Christ. Well, all the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ instead of us.
Yeah.
If all of God's wrath hadn't been poured out on Christ instead of us, we'd go to hell and we'd suffer that forever and ever without Him. God was angry with sin. He was angry with us because we sinned. God was mad at us. If you want to see how angry God is with sin, look how much Christ suffered at Calvary. And we were enemies to God. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of His Son. We were enemies to God. But we were chosen in Christ. And we were in Christ when Christ died at Calvary. We were in that rock there when Jesus died. And all of God's wrath was poured out on Christ. But here we are in Christ and we don't have to take none of that wrath. Why?
Yeah.
We're in the rock.
That's
we're
right.
in safety.
That's right.
That's what eternal life or eternal salvation is. All the wrath of God. You know how we were saved? People say, I got saved last week. What'd you get saved from?
Yeah.
Did you get saved from drowning? You know, salvation is like this. A man's drowning, he's going down. I mean, he's come up for the last time. I mean, he's fixing to drown. Somebody pulls him out. He's saved. He's saved from drowning. Peter, when he looked down and saw the waves, the boisterous waves, and he began to sink, Christ, he said, save me, I'll perish. He will save from drowning. When they say, I got saved, what did you get saved from? The wrath to come? What did the Bible say in the book of Thessalonians? And to wait for His Son, even Jesus, from heaven. And to wait for His Son from heaven, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You didn't deliver yourself from the wrath.
Yeah, He did.
When did He deliver us from the wrath to come? When all the wrath of God was poured out on Christ at Calvary, we were in Him and we were delivered then from the wrath to come.
Right. That's it.
All the wrath was poured out on Christ instead of us. We didn't even have to flee for that refuge then. God put us in that cliff of the rock.
Yes.
But as a child of God, see, we flee from refuge. We flee for refuge. We come to the end of ourselves. From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, the Lord Jesus. For Thou hast been.
Yeah.
Did you hear what it said? For Thou hast been.
Yeah.
This is not the first time that the Lord had been this to him. For Thou hast been. In time past. David had many experiences before like this, hadn't he? Where he come to the end of himself. And how many times we as God's children have to come to the end of ourselves again.
I was talking about Nebuchadnezzar a while ago. He had to come to the end of himself. God cast him out in the field. He's straw like an ox. His fingernails grow out like bird claws. His hair like eagle feathers. He come to the end of himself and he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are repeated as nothing. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He come to the end of himself.
Yes. Right.
If he had never come to the end of himself, he would have never said this about the Lord, would he? Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, one place in Isaiah, he said, and a king shall reign in judgment. A king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind.
Yeah.
As a cover from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place. As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land.
Right.
Who is that great rock? Who is that great rock? And a man shall be this. Who is that man?
Jesus
is man and God both, wasn't
he?
And a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Thou hast been a shelter for me. You know what a shelter is? That's something to protect you from something coming down. You know what the tires were? They were great things. Some of them were placed at the corners, but some were placed at intervals between the corners. They had great tires. They had a big wall, you know. And there was a great tower on the end and some in between there. What about God being a tower from the enemy?
Yeah.
A protection, a defense from the enemy that keeps the enemy from coming in. And David said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Thank you don't bother me when I'm under this shelter. And thou hast been a strong tower for the enemy. Thou hast been like a great defense to keep people away from me. The trouble's there all the time, but you don't see it anymore. Why? See God's protection, don't you? Thou hast been a shelter for me. Have you ever just hid up under a rock?
Yeah.
I remember fishing when I was a little boy. Me and my dad used to fish on Chattahoochee River a lot. I remember when it come a lightning storm. It was striking real bad. And it was raining real hard. And there was a great big old rock down there. And I often wonder, you know, how in the world there was a hole up under that rock.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like a place just to sit down under there. It was a big, great big rock. Half of it was just above the land, but half of it was still on the land, but it was like it's sticking out over the water. So, and when that bad lightning storm come, we got up under that rock. We're safe from the rain.
Yeah.
I thought about a lot of times when men cross in the desert and they'd walk for miles and miles. And don't look like there's no shade nowhere.
Yeah. You know, great big rock, people don't care much about it. You know, what do I need that rock for?
But you take a man's walk across a desert a long ways, you can't find no refuge from the sun anywhere.
Yeah.
And you just crawl up onto that rock there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shelter. Shelter from the sun.
Right. Right.
And all that heat took away. He gets to rest out in the shade.
Yeah.
Just in the shadow of that rock. My, how good God is, just to rest up under His shelter. When all the troubles and your trials of this life, they weigh you down. When life seems like it slams you against the ground.
Yeah.
I've had some experiences in my life seem like life just slammed me against the ground.
Yeah.
Seemed like I couldn't get up. But thank God that He's a refuge that I can flee to. David one time, he was fleeing from Saul.
And it was written in the book of Psalms, the 57th chapter, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge.
Yeah.
All these calamities be overpassed. To all this trouble be overpassed in the shadow of thy wings. You know, people talk about God having arms and eyes, and the Bible speaks of that. But what about the wings? That's just a metaphor, ain't it? Talking about hiding. You ever thought about a little baby chicken? And here comes a big old hawk now flying over. That baby, he don't even know it's in trouble. That mama hawk, or that mama chicken, she begins to cluck for them little chickens, and they get up under them little wings, you know. And they're safe from that hawk.
That's right.
How good it is sometimes just to flee to Christ for refuge.
Yes, amen.
Just to be away from all the troubles of this world. Ain't it good to come to the house? I believe this is a refuge, don't you?
Amen.
It's a refuge from this world. How many times have you ever had so much trouble you couldn't hold it back? You come to the house of God and hear the message of sovereign grace, and all your troubles are just forgotten. How sweet God is. How good a refuge He is from all the trouble that's in this world. From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. May God bless you.